So where in the world was Andrea Gray this week?
I've been here.
Yeah?
I ain't going nowhere.
Good. I was in...
You've been traveling a lot.
I was in D.C.
I'm about to be out in
Chicago.
These streets, but...
Mm-hmm. Felt like I was somewhere else. Vegas.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where I am, where I've been.
So you're in New Jersey right now.
Right now. I know Jersey. That
no,
I know.
No Pittsburgh?
No Pittsburgh.
The NFL draft is happening in Pittsburgh.
It is.
No New
it
York
is.
City, no Knicks playoffs, no
yeah,
WNBA
I'm actually
draft.
Disgusted by my Knicks right now.
I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to the game Tuesday, though.
Cool.
Yeah. Good luck to the Knicks.
Yeah.
But speaking of sports.
Yes.
It is draft season. We had the NFL draft this weekend.
Yep.
We have the WNBA draft was earlier this month, April 13th.
Mm-hmm.
We have the NBA draft coming up in June.
Mm-hmm.
The lottery is in May. Baseball's draft is coming up in July. Like, we are in the season, my friends.
Tis the season.
And what's funny, with all the people that get drafted, the things that people don't talk about is, like, for everybody that gets drafted, somebody lost their job. Don't think about that. They did.
Not exactly.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Because someone getting drafted, you still have to compete for your spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first rounders, somebody probably lost their job. But mm-hmm. someone could have retired. Someone could have mm-hmm. lost their job anyway to injury or just not being available. But
yeah.
I don't look at it that way.
All right. For the NFL has a 52-man roster.
Yep.
And then they have, I think it's whatever number of people on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So if any player that signs that got drafted, not every player signs.
Correct.
Somebody's gone.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of job loss is all I'm saying.
Okay.
So it's like.
It's the nature of the beast.
Yeah. I was at a dinner last night and I ran into just a friend I went to business school with who's also a financial advisor. And he landed his first NFL client. And he's like, hey, what do I do? And so I'm like. Breaking down, because I've been working, I mean, we as a firm have been working with NFL clients for a long time. My first NFL client was back in 2006, mm-hmm. I think. And I'm like, oh, so I'm breaking it all down to him. Like, the biggest thing you got to think about, your guy will probably play 5 or 6 years. So it's like economically 60 years old, except mm-hmm. in reality, he's 20 something. Mm-hmm. And you got to plan for both and a short, truncated economic life of earning.
That's right.
But a long life of spending.
Preservation.
Yeah. So today, let's talk about that. Let's talk about these kids who are becoming millionaires, some of whom are already millionaires because they
name,
played,
image, likeness.
Yeah, they got paid to play college sports or really paid for their name, image, and likeness.
Sure.
But we'll also just talk about just general things. We'll use the NFL, NBA, WNBA as like a, you know, a template.
You better.
But there's somebody else that got a raise that is making more money than they've ever made before.
Sure.
And we'll give advice for them too.
Yep.
So let's get into it. So draft. Here's some stats. You know, we talked about, you know, again, we're not going to be negative, but like it's, if you get drafted, it is a really like high achievement.
For sure.
Like in football, less than a half of a percent of all college football players get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, Andrea, only 30% of drafted players actually make the final 52-man roster. So, right. So not everybody lost a job. But a lot of people are going to lose their jobs off this draft, for sure.
It's going to happen eventually. It's the nature of pro sports. That's all I was saying.
Yeah. How's your draft going for your team? You're a Saints fan, right?
Correct.
Because that's where you used to live? Not where you're from?
I don't understand the
difference. Jersey's claiming like, you, by the way.
Why are we making such a big deal out of those specific words?
Okay. This is me holding up the mirror here. Mm-hmm. Okay. in years past, I'd be like, Dre is from Jersey. And you'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm from New Orleans. And now today, I'm hearing you say, no, I used to live there. I'm like, oh, so they got downgraded.
I don't ever remember.
You said it. You said it because I was so hurt. I was like, how am my sister going to say she's not from Jersey?
I definitely remember you saying that I'm from New Orleans. You saying that I'm from New Orleans.
Okay.
I don't ever recall any friction by you saying I'm from New Jersey and me correcting you.
Mm.
I'm just saying.
Selective memory, have we?
I think it's...
I'm messing with you, Dre.
Specific memory.
Yeah. Okay.
You know I'm a details girl. So, okay. You know, just saying.
Yeah.
I've never disclaimed New Orleans.
Yeah.
I've disclaimed Jersey more than I've disclaimed New Orleans. That is true.
Yeah, okay.
But no, I did...
Yeah.
Where I'm from, to me, is where you're born.
But you barely lived where you were born, right?
I mean, at this point, I lived in New Orleans the least amount of time.
Hello.
I've lived in New Jersey the longest amount of
time.
Come
on.
I lived in South Carolina longer than I lived in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
But my people are there. My family is there. So
where?
I do, in Louisiana. So I do still refer to it as home.
Because
that's where
a
concentration of my maternal family still resides.
I will say New Orleans is a cooler place than Jersey to be from. I will say that. But like, you're from Jersey though. So
not cooler than South Carolina.
On the NBA side, you know, again, we got the NBA draft coming up. They draft 250 players.
But the Saints are my team.
Mm-hmm.
I have always claimed the Saints, even in the not so great years.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay attention to who they drafted, but I'm told by others who were paying close attention that they drafted well.
Yeah.
Hadn't even updated my Saints app because it was such a dismal year last year.
Yeah. My Jets have already disappointed me. They do what they always do. We had three first-round picks. We draft an edge rusher like we do just about every year. Mm-hmm. We draft a defensive lineman almost every year, a tight end, and like a short wide receiver. Like, we can't get a fast,
why he
tall.
Gotta be short?
I mean, look, he's taller than me.
Okay.
But, like, I'm just saying, like, the Jets are just cursed.
What are the Jets doing at quarterback?
We got Geno Smith, who we drafted. Who, like,
Let went on did to, better.
Did way better.
In other places.
And now that he's doing bad again, we're like, oh, yeah, we got to get him back.
Mm.
Yeah. So other draft stats. So in NFL, there's 250 to 260 players who will be drafted across 7 rounds. In the NBA, it's a lot smaller. The NBA is only 2 rounds.
Fewer players.
Yeah, there's only 3% of
15-man roster?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that? Yeah.
And only 3% of Division I college basketball players will get drafted. That's for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Probably similar for WNBA. A lot of disappointment this year, WNBA draft. Like, ladies that thought they were going to get drafted and didn't. Happens every sport, every year.
I didn't notice that, but okay.
Yeah, no, definitely was some tears.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I just feel like all the people you expected to get drafted seems like they did.
Nah.
But the same way that if you get drafted, you don't always make the team. That's probably not the case in the WNBA. There are people who don't get drafted who do make the team.
Yeah, no, there's this woman, Destiny Howell. She played at Howard and she transferred to Wisconsin. She had a great season for Wisconsin. She scored 14 points a game and she shot 39% from three. Mm-hmm. And like, she was, you know, all everything for that conference. She did not get drafted. Mm. So, I mean, not everybody makes it. Hopefully she'll, you know, walk on, she'll get signed or something. I don't know. Hopefully she gets picked up. But but that's every sport every year. Like, there's somebody that gets disappointed, somebody that surprises you.
Sure.
And the NFL draft is still happening over this weekend. And like, there's going to be some, you know, disappointment and some excitement. What's interesting, we've had players that were undrafted who went on to have great 9 and 10 year careers that are clients of ours. And we've had players that were drafted well and, you know, had one contract and they were done.
Mm-hmm.
What really matters is how well they play.
Yeah.
And I just hope that the men and women who get a chance just take advantage of that.
And being in the right situation, it's a little bit of luck involved.
Facts. Facts. So other stats. Let's talk about the money. Show me the money, Andrea. Show
if I
me
got it, you
the
got
money.
It. But I ain't got it.
Jerry Maguire.
I
that's
know,
Jerry Maguire,
I know,
man.
I am aware.
Show me the money.
I know.
Yeah.
Another movie I have not watched from start to finish.
That's why. There
that's
you go.
Crazy. But I mean, everybody, you don't have to have seen the movie to know that line. I know that that's
yeah, but
movie.
In the movie, you got Cuba Gooding mm-hmm. making Tom Cruise
yes.
say it over and over again.
I got it. I didn't say I haven't seen
okay,
the
I got
movie.
You. I got you.
I haven't seen it from start to finish.
Yeah. So pay varies widely by sport. So first round picks, like the first couple of picks in the NFL, are going to all make over $50 million, 5-0 over their 4-year contracts, which will average out to be, you know, $10 plus million dollars per season mm-hmm. for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the NBA, similar pay for the top picks, but like it drops off way stronger. Like the first round draft pick will make $11 million.
Yeah.
But like you start getting to the lower picks, it's significantly worse.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, big signing bonuses. It was funny about baseball. They have 600 kids who get drafted.
Baseball's always been weird.
20 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like crazy. Less than 20% of those kids will actually make it to, you know, the big leagues, mm-hmm. even though they got drafted. Some will just be like, hey, I'm just going to go to college. And some will go to the farm systems and never make it up.
Yeah. You know? They're getting paid though.
But first round draft pick will get an $8 to $9 million signing bonus. The number one pick. These yeah. are stats for the number one picks.
Yeah.
NHL, $10 million for a top draft pick. WNBA, interestingly enough, $500K for the top pick this year, which is like multiples times of what the top pick last year got.
Goes back to my very first episode of the show. We talked about the sister tax.
Yeah. But it's shrinking. I mean, it's shrinking, but it's still huge.
Yeah. I mean, relative to everything else, it's a markedly higher improvement.
Yeah. So last year, Paige Beckers was the number one pick, and she's nice. She's very good.
Buckets.
Paige signed a multi-year deal at a rate of $78,000 per year. Don't laugh.
It's a
shame.
It's a shameful yeah. chuckle.
Yeah.
She'll make way more money on endorsements and oh, all for that sure. other stuff, but it's the principle, right?
Yeah. And as if... Is it easy? I don't know.
AZ FUD.
Okay, see, thank you. So,
butt around and find out. That's her thing.
I was about to
see,
say it wrong.
You're not a real fan. You didn't
this,
know that.
This year I was slacking on my Mac.
You were.
I was. This year I wasn't paying.
That's the whole thing. They would say, and anyway. Yeah. yeah.
So AZ FUD, this year she gets $500K on a 4-year deal valued at $2.2 million. God bless her. Like I'm.
They'll be teammates
so,
again.
So happy that the women stood their ground and were able to make some progress.
Shout out to Nneka Agumike. As the president of the Players WNBA Players Association, mm-hmm. she was largely responsible for seeing the disparities.
Yeah. Was she a player?
Go away. She is. Yeah. She still is.
Oh, she's a current player.
And her sister. Her sister is not a current player. Her sister is broadcasting now.
Yeah.
But they were both elite college players and both played in the dope. WNBA.
That's
I'm
dope.
Pretty sure Nneka is still playing.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was funny, like the money that Paige got, like other UConn grads and, you know, that graduated from college probably made similar pay. But she's like one of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah.
And as we talked about on that Sis Attack show, it's not that the WNBA is, you know, underperforming. It's doing what it was designed to do, which was to be a sideshow. Mm-hmm. Like it was designed to occupy the time of year where nobody cares about basketball. It was designed to, you know, just keep the arenas busy when nobody's, you know, playing NBA basketball.
Yeah.
And despite that, it's still popular. It Absolutely. Could be more popular if they would let it be. But I digress.
Yeah, we don't have time today.
Let's go back to the NFL for a minute. So the pay really drops off a lot depending on where you get drafted. So we talked about those first round picks making $50 million. If you get drafted in the seventh round, still loot, but you know you might only get $4 million over the course of 4 years.
Cry me a river.
Even like you know, just from the first pick to the 30th pick, like you go from making $10 million in one season down to 2.9, depending on where you get drafted.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, ultimately it's about how you ball out. And for some of these people, that second contract is going to be their big payday. Yeah. If they make it.
If they make it.
If they make it. Like I'm expecting Shador should go to the bank when he goes for his second contract.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
They just, that was a whole another round of reasons.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. And first, before we do, I want to shout out our partner, Will Platt. Will runs our athlete division at the firm. Mm-hmm. We have about 30 college athletes that are clients of the firm, 10 of whom are being drafted and picked up by teams over this weekend. And he really has helped us to get way deeper into this arena. And big shout out to him. He's actually literally with a player at the draft right now.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, he's with the player and his family. He'll be one of the people on TV when, you know, they go to the camera. Did you see that meme? It was like, this is the weekend when a bunch of women are going to think they got drafted too.
I didn't see that, but the conversation and the observations are quite entertaining.
They use the Russell Wilson draft picture. His girlfriend is sitting right next to him. Her mouth's open bigger than his.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she clearly didn't last a long time.
Well, so, they got married.
But I mean,
I know.
That's all. It didn't last a long time.
Yeah.
That's it. So let's switch. Let's give some advice. And this again, this is, we're going to center this around athletes who are now suddenly making a lot more money. But also, this is good advice for you who just got a raise and you went from one company to the next. You got a promotion. You finished grad school, whatever it may be. You have leveled up. I'm going to give you some advice. Okay. So the first things first, you have to handle your business on the field, on the pitch, on the track, on the ice, on the diamond, on the hardwood. You got to handle your business. You're laughing, Drake. Like, what are you laughing about?
Because you can't start off a sentence with first things first without me immediately going into iPapa brings all the honey.
First things first, iPapa brings all the honeys.
I had Playboy to literally bunnies. Put my hand
those
over my
want
mouth.
Money.
To suppress my laughter.
Well, those are the one I want, but because they don't get Nathan, okay?
Stop.
You're so funny. Stop. You're so childish, by the way. I love that.
Yep,
and that kind of makes you from Jersey.
It's because I'm childish.
The whole thing. Like you think of Biggie when someone says first things first. That's a, it's the East Coast thing.
Songs live in my head, yeah. Rent free.
But you handle your business. Like if you've like gone through the sacrifice,
yeah.
You've worked as hard as you've worked, you were already blessed with amazing physical gifts that you then multiplied through hard work. You cannot let all of these business things, these money things, these non-sport things derail your career because that's your moneymaker for right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's your legacy and it's, I get how challenging it can be for someone so young to be thinking about like retirement and mm-hmm. legacy because of their youth.
Yeah.
But it's so important because if you don't, it's just, you'll be looking back and talking about what that day was like. You don't want to be that person.
Yeah. There's people that are already thinking about the companies they want to build
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the nonprofits they want to start. And like, there's a time to do that stuff. And I'm not suggesting don't think about it now, but mm-hmm. like, yo, that shouldn't be like the main thing you're thinking about when you first get drafted. And the same thing if you just got a raise at your job. You just moved from one company to the next. You switched into a new high-paying industry. Like, focus on doing a good job at work.
Do a good job. And so we talk about this all the time, how even for regular people, and when I say regular people, I mean people other than professional athletes, you know, we are our greatest asset.
Yeah.
Our opportunity to generate income and mm-hmm. to generate wealth. And so some of that you have to reinvest in yourself.
Yeah.
So that you can do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a fact. So if you're an athlete, then things that are important to you needs to be your health, your sleep, your recovery, your nutrition, your training, your learning of the playbook and reading the defense and the offense and all that. It's your mental focus. Like the things that you did to get there, you got to keep doing them and maybe do them even more.
And sometimes level up on that.
Yeah. One of our NFL clients, one of them, I'll tell a story real quick before we go to break. He did not start at his high school. He had to transfer to a different high school to get a starting job. Mm. He then did not get any offers to play college football. So he went to a small 1AA football team. He balled out at Duquesne. He set all the records there at cornerback and still didn't get drafted. He got an opportunity to be kind of like a walk-on for an NFL team. They said, look, if you come try out for us, we'll put you on the practice squad. By the end of that season, he was a starter. And every team he played on three teams in his NFL career. Every team he played on, he led the team in interceptions. Like mm-hmm. he's just a great story. You yeah. know what I mean? And the thing that he shared with me about, we were talking about mental focus and handling your business on the field. He just had this insane belief in himself. Mm-hmm. He had all the people in the world telling him that he wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Like, they're telling you you're not good enough when you don't get a scholarship offer.
Right.
They're telling you you're not good enough when you don't get drafted. But if you get an opportunity, that's your chance to step up.
That's it.
And because he didn't get drafted, he wasn't highly, you know, lauded, he felt like he needed to prove himself even more. And he was able to lead every team that he played on mm-hmm. in interceptions because of that. And so focus on that belief in yourself. Focus on what got you there and make sure that that is your number one focus while also thinking about these other things.
So many distractions.
When there's time. And we'll get yes. into that. We'll get into that after the break.
Yeah. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
And we're back.
First round draft picks with you.
Mama, I made it.
Mama, I made it.
I made it.
So we play this game, my husband and I, when we're watching the drafts, where it's not a structured game, but like this year in particular, there were a lot of first rounders who opted to not attend the draft, mm-hmm. but to just be
with their families.
With their families. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got coordinated outfits.
Yeah.
So it's not just the player anymore. It's like the family in white. There was another family in brown, like, you know, all of that. But we do this thing where we scan the room and then we see a young lady or what appears to be a young lady. Or sometimes you see the hug, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, mama, sister, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we just try to guess. Cousin. And then we play cousin. Yeah, right. Yeah. We just look for body language and try to guess. And then we're like, oh man, we were wrong or like whatever.
It's also just interesting seeing the dynamics when like who gets to the kid first.
Right.
Like when the girlfriend tries to step up before mama, that doesn't usually go well.
You need to have those conversations before the cameras are on.
Yeah.
Like,
or sometimes dad might try to stop, you know, jump in the picture and maybe dad wasn't, you know, doesn't deserve to be in the picture.
Listen.
And that gets shown as well.
It gets tricky, I'm sure.
Yeah. I do love seeing, like, you know, there's this narrative that like every NFL player comes from a, you know, single parent household. And that's a lot of the case. But I love seeing the dads get involved too.
Yes.
And a lot of times the dads are a big part of the kids' lives as much as the moms are too. And the moms almost always get appreciation. Yeah. But I love seeing when the dads get a chance to shine too.
Yep. But another sign that I'm getting older is you see the first hug and you're thinking maybe it's girlfriend. And it's like, nope, that is mom. Because moms is looking young.
Yeah. Moms. Yeah. No,
moms of some of these players are my age and younger.
Yeah, you could be.
Today's 50 is not 50 of 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it's just interesting.
But legitimately, you could be in your 30s and have a kid getting drafted for real. Like,
you could, especially if you're a young parent.
Yeah.
If you were a young parent. But
yeah. But it's also, it trips me out seeing the kids, how old they are, because I've got kids the same age. I'm like, yeah.
Because these dudes are big.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the male pro athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Like, I could have given birth to these kids at this point.
Really? Tell me how that would have worked.
I'm just saying, my kids are the same age. That's all I'm saying.
I'm teasing you because you said you could have given birth. I know what you meant.
Okay, now you got me.
Really? How you didn't, it just went right over your head.
You remember I was a struggling single mom for a while.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, so I'm still hanging on to that. So we're
four days.
We're talking about financial advice for those draft picks, for those people who started making a little more money than what they were used to making.
Yeah.
And we're gonna help you level up financially. So we talked before the break about just focusing on your craft. And that's, again, whether you're in IT or in the defensive secondary. Next, we'll talk about assembling a team. But before I say that, I do want to caution you with this. I met my first NFL player I worked with, he said to me, my financial advisor told me this, you worry about on the field and I'll worry about off the field.
Mm.
That's really bad advice.
I agree.
Because you might be getting like bent over off the field. You might be getting hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray off the field.
Defrauded.
So you got to build a team, but you got to figure yourself as the CEO of that team.
For sure.
They work for you. You don't work for them.
Mm-hmm. Respectfully.
So build the team. So your team needs to have a financial advisor. Now, this person should be licensed. Maybe they're a CFP, but some kind of a credential. You know, they should have gone to somebody's college, maybe a grad degree. Who knows? But they need to be someone that really is a professional. They've done this before. This ain't the first rodeo.
Right. Some experience.
Yeah. I also like folks that don't just work with athletes. And I say that because a lot of times the folks who only work with athletes don't have the perspective of the rest of the world.
And the rest of your life.
Correct. They also tend to overcharge. Like, we met an accountant. Like, we've been building teams for our NFL and college football players a lot in the last couple of years. And we've met accountants who literally, if they only work with NFL players, they're charging like triple what a normal accountant charges for the same exact tax return because they know they can.
Right.
Right? So build a team, you know, look at their credentials. Ask yourself, do I feel comfortable talking to this person? Like, relationship matters when you're picking an advisor. Other people that should be on your team. You need a CPA.
For sure.
Not a tax guy.
Right.
A CPA. This is one where we want a certified public accountant.
Yes. And even, I'm going to take it a step further, a tax planner.
Yeah.
Right? Because some CPAs are tax preparers, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about this type of money in motion and this type of level of wealth, you need someone who's going to work in concert with your financial advisor to do some tax planning.
Yeah. Other potential parts of your team, and now I'm getting into the optional part.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of players, because they're so focused, they're at the facility so many hours, a lot of folks get like a business manager as well. Someone to just handle business. Like,
yes,
make sure my bills get paid.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, set up my little off-season vacation for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure the dog gets walked or what have you. Like early on when I spent a lot of time with NFL players, they would call it the do boy. Like, go do this, go do that.
Wow.
Do boy. Maybe it's a do boy. Maybe it's a business manager. But somebody, a lot of times increasingly.
PT from the game. Did you ever watch The Game, the TV show The Game?
Not really. I did watch.
That's great entertainment right there.
Survivor's Remorse.
And yes, I hate that that didn't get renewed.
Yeah, that's a good show.
That was a really good show.
Also the show with The Rock when he was an agent. Ballers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Didn't see that.
Yeah, I like that a little bit better than The Game. The Game was fine, but I didn't really think
The Game was great.
Yeah.
But Malik Eltabarge, right? His do boy was TT.
Yeah.
TT was his homeboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, increasingly, I'm seeing mom in that role.
For sure.
Yeah. Mom tends to be like
management. I'm still talking about The Game.
Mom tends to be that single person that like you can always trust. And I say tend to be because it's not always, but a lot of times mom is the one that does a lot of those things.
For sure. We're working with a young client now who's in a D1 football program, And it's a, they treat it collectively as the family business, but the mom is definitely the CEO, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, just, I love how they approach it from a family perspective and not from a pressure filled, like they have their own, right? Mm-hmm. Mom has a career. They homeschool children, dad's very involved. So they're doing their own thing, but they are approaching this as a family, and I love it.
Yeah.
And what was really, what really resonated with me is, you know, we talk to all of our clients, no matter what they do professionally, you know, we talk about goals and we talk about things that make them mm-hmm. nervous. And, you know, as a woman, we had this conversation about, you know, making sure that, the son doesn't get distracted by some little fast girl who's trying to latch on. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So it was just kind of funny because I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure that your team works in concert with one another.
Absolutely.
You gotta communicate. People need to know what other folks are advising on.
Mm-hmm.
But also make sure you've got checks and balances. What I mean by that is, like, the accountant should be double checking the financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
The financial advisor should be double checking the tax person.
Yeah. And we don't mean repeating their work or doing their work.
Double checking.
It just means that you're working in concert with each other. Make sure it makes sense.
Word. And finally, like, make sure they really have your best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's part of the double checking. Like, sometimes, you know, having someone there to say, look, I don't know about that person.
Right.
Right. Like, so I've seen family members take advantage of those positions. Cause, like, a lot of times the do boy or the business manager, like a lot of times they have power of attorney to be able to move money. Mm-hmm. You might've given them your username and password, which is effectively giving them the keys to the financial car.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of trust. Make sure also that you're not paying them too much. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you're getting more money than you ever expected. It doesn't mean that you need to put a bunch of people on a high salary.
That's right.
To be able to do these things for you. Next thing, I think you really have to educate yourself. We mentioned earlier, like, yeah, you're the CEO of that team, but you got to be getting smarter through all this.
Right.
Like, you can't just let them tie your shoes for you. You got to learn how to tie your shoes yourself. It doesn't mean you got to go get a master's degree in finance, but it does mean that you need to ask a lot of questions. And if you don't understand it, then slow down.
Right.
Because a lot of times you're not going to have that much time to focus, especially in those early days. Like, getting drafted on a Friday night means on Saturday you're already flown out to the team. You're doing press conferences.
That's right.
Right? Pretty soon you're going to have a playbook in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing, you know, all kinds of media things. Like, you won't have a ton of time. So your team, you're going to have to rely on them, but you need to make sure you slow it down to the point of, if there's any major decision, that maybe you push it until you got the time to educate yourself on it. But I think it's really important to be educated in the process. There's some things that, like, I've got, you know, we have a bunch of NFL players who are now retired, and they're double guessing, like, things that they decided to do, even with the advice of professional advisors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's because they didn't have the frame of mind to really focus at the time. They're just doing what people told them, and it sounded like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's just the responsibilities just pile up, and we're going to presume there's some attending classes. I almost think financial literacy should be a requirement for college students.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. There is a...
And especially for pro potential players. I don't know if there's a way to incorporate that for them in particular, but...
Well, we'll say, like, we've been hired and brought in to do educational settings, sessions for a bunch of college.
That's right.
Where the college teams have actually brought us in.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, there's a conspiracy theory in pro sports, and I've heard this from multiple players.
What is it?
That the teams don't really want you to be that financially literate because it then gives you a leg up on them. Meaning, I need you to kind of be broke and living paycheck to paycheck, because then I've got more leverage on you.
Right.
And so a lot of times the teams are like, nah, we need you to focus on your playbook. Don't worry about all that stuff.
Hmm.
The Players Association, like, that's, you know, where they come in and try to balance things out. They do a lot of educational things.
Yeah.
Like the NFL in particular, they have a whole financial advisor registration program. They vet the guys. Like, they probably care a little bit more about your financial well-being than the team and my experience.
Absolutely. True story. Entering senior year of college, I'm an accounting major.
Yeah.
And I'm an athlete with no professional potential. But I saw, even at the time we were, we were going into our first year as a 1AA conference. And I knew there were some players that had pro potential.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me want to be in a position to help these athletes keep what they had, because I didn't want to hear another story about someone who had it all and then 2 years later they were broke.
Mm-hmm.
And so sports management as a major was introduced that year. And I had taken all the business classes, of course, but I would have had to stay another semester or year to take the other courses. I didn't do it because I didn't know how to do it. And I'm like, if I could get in with a players association and convince them to make this required or have this be an offering for the professional players in a particular league, I could be golden.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't follow up on it because I didn't know how to do it. Yeah. I had never shared that with anybody, but it was just one of those things that was in my head.
No, I got you.
Had no idea all these years later, while it's not a primary focus of my practice, that I'd be at a place where we could do that.
Yeah, a lot of the leagues, they're doing rookie symposiums now, and they bring the players in and a bunch of professionals to come in and talk to them.
That's right.
And, you know, that's helped.
Yeah.
Right? It's helped for sure.
And I envisioned it being as part of like a transition team. Like, you need a transition team because you're about to live a different kind of life.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I like the game so much.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, I can watch it over and over, the whole series. Yeah, I know.
I think the game was out when I was like knee deep on Wall Street and like I wasn't watching a lot of TV at the time.
Yeah, I finished the series after it went off the air.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So,
other advice. So as you're building your team, as you're navigating life, use your instincts.
Yeah.
Your instincts have kept you out of trouble your whole life.
Hopefully.
It's helped you to avoid people and situations that seem sketchy. It helps you to avoid situations where somebody's pushing you a little bit too hard, trying to get you to sign paperwork a little too fast, talking too fast, right?
I'm always suspicious if someone's like, you need to do this right now.
Yeah. Take your time and use your instinct. Use some discernment.
Yep.
Yeah. Other advice. We talked about taking your time again. You know, you don't have to do a bunch of investments in day one. Like we've advised our newly drafted players, if we weren't working with them already in college, like year one's not about investing. Year one's about, you know, getting adjusted to your new city. It's
getting
about
organized,
getting used to living on a budget, setting up your structure, where, you know, which banks am I going to use? Like how much cash do I want to keep?
It's administrative.
Yeah, it's an administrative year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So take your time.
Which isn't exciting. It's not exciting, but it's necessary.
Yeah. More advice. Find some mentors.
Word.
And here's my definition of mentor. I'd love to hear what you think about mentors. So to me, a mentor is someone who gives you advice based on what's best for you with nothing to gain from it.
Right.
That's a mentor.
Yeah.
Did you have any good mentors as a young person?
I probably did, but I maybe didn't view them as mentors.
Mm.
I'd have to think now, but certainly in my professional life.
Yeah. So I've had a bunch of mentors.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Professional mentors, not like, you know, just in sports, but like these mentors, you know, it might be a business owner in your town. It might be an executive. It might be a retired player. It might be a veteran player on the team, but like folks that know more than you. I should add that in, that the mentor knows more than you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they are there not to extract anything from you. They're just looking out because they care. Like that is one of those things that will help you. A lot of times the veterans, the OGs on the team, they're by default are those mentors. But like, you know, watch them. Like, don't just jump into a mentor relationship overnight. Like
You want them to have some longevity.
Yeah.
And some success in their longevity.
It should be somebody you admire something about how they roll.
That's right.
Yeah. Now let's get into some money things. I know we've been giving you a lot of philosophical things. Prepare for an erratic pay schedule.
Yeah.
So I don't know if y'all realize this or not, but a lot of us are used to getting paid every 2 weeks or twice a month.
Yep.
maybe we've got teachers in our lives who, you know, they get paid over 10 months and they've got a budget for the summer. Mm-hmm. It's even worse for pro sports. So if you're in the NFL, you get one check, basically. I mean, you might get a signing bonus when you first sign with the team, and that's April. Your next check might not come until August. Mm. How are you going to make that stretch from April to August? Mm-hmm. And then when you start getting your checks, they basically divide your pay up into 17 weeks, and you get 1/17 of your check every week.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure that, like, you know, you're not spending it all from week to week, because there will be nothing left for the offseason. There's so many horror stories of NFL players needing to borrow money from their teammates in the offseason, in particular when there was a strike. You remember when there were strikes and like that was the biggest weakness of players, is like they weren't able to withstand the heat of not getting paid because they weren't financially prepared. Again, which is why the teams know they get leverage if you're not well off, if you're not good with your money. So yeah, imagine you were the 30th pick in this year's NFL draft. You got $2.9 million in pay this season. You'd basically get a check for $170K before taxes once a week. Mm-hmm. Net of taxes, that might be like $85,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You might feel like, oh, I could go buy a Phantom every week. Nah, it ain't like that. It ain't like that. There also might be a number of like bonuses. There's roster bonuses. There's, you know, camp bonuses. There's, you know, did you
performance targets?
Yeah,
making the playoffs. All that.
So you can't, like, you know how, like, did you ever have a job where you had a big bonus as a part of your pay?
No.
Okay. Well, I did. This is Wall Street. Like they give you your salary and then your bonus could be more than your salary. Right.
I take that back. I did, but they realized that how it was wrong, because they actually did a pay analysis and it turned out my bonus was too large of a percentage of my salary. So they had to make an adjustment. And I'm like, give me the guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Every time.
There's a lot of folks, like, I'll tell you,
I was underpaid, basically.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah. And there's a lot of folks that like structure their lives in a way, like the smart way is to try to live on your salary and then kind of bank the bonuses.
Yes.
But on Wall Street, a lot of folks would live way beyond their means, and then their plan is to just pay off all the debt with a bonus. And then sometimes they get goose egged. They get nothing. Yeah. And then they're, you know, so
done
you can't in your financial plan on, like, for one, you got to plan on your off season, but, you know, it means you got to put away a lot of your money to make sure it's available for later. But you can't be banking on these bonuses as like how you're going to get bailed out, just like you can't be banking on a second contract. Like, you got to set yourself up to be financially successful based on what you know now, which is that at least I got this contract, because there's not a lot of guarantees in all the sports.
That's right. The bonus is literally extra.
Yeah.
That is not guaranteed.
Yeah. Taxes is another big one.
Big one.
Taxes. You have to figure that taxes and your agent's commission are going to take up at least or around about 50% of your pay.
That's crazy.
And in the tax bucket, you got what people call the jock tax, which is really the idea that you got to pay taxes in every state where you work. So those 17 weeks might have brought you to 7 or 8 different states. That means you got to do 8 or 9 different tax returns that state. And your plan for taxes should also, you know, include some write-offs. Maybe you form an LLC, and maybe you use that as a chance to generate some things that can offset some of your taxable income. But plan for your taxes for sure. So we'll go to break. We come back, we'll get into some more ideas for the newly drafted player, or player who just got a big raise because, mama, I made it.
Tasha Mack Management. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Momentum.
Advisor Show.
So when we talk about budgeting, you know, for regular people who get a normal 26 paychecks a year, like we talked to them about the 50-30-20 budget, right? Where 50% goes towards your needs,
yep,
30% towards your wants, and then 20% goes towards savings. So the assumption there is that I've got a job that I'm going to be working for like the next 30, 40, 50 years, and I'll be able to save a little bit that'll, you know, help me to live for that short period of time when I'm not working. If you're a pro athlete, your earning potential in terms of the number of years, it's limited.
For sure.
A long NFL career is 10 years.
That's a long NFL
career. That's a long one.
That's not an average.
Yeah. Average is like less than three or around three, yeah, for NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So that means like, even if you play 10 years, like, mm-hmm, you get drafted in your 20s, you're done playing in your 30s, you could live another 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that.
It's a lot of money, but it's got to last a very long time. I play for
10, I got to live on it for 70.
Right.
That means I got to put away like 70, 80% of my money into savings and investments.
And my money needs to make money.
That's
why we do that.
That's exactly right. So the budget that we have for our pros is at like literally 80% for savings and investments.
Sounds crazy, but.
Yeah. Unsexy, I know.
They'll thank us for it later.
20% for lifestyle spending.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we get into little tussles and yeah, we'll relent and say, okay, you can get this one time, this time.
Right.
But like in general, your mindset needs to be that the majority of this needs to go away,
mm-hmm,
into investments. And again, doesn't mean it needs to be in year one. Like year one can be about saving, but by, you know, the off season, you're moving into year two, we should have a plan for some investments that start to kick off at that time.
You're building the foundation.
Absolutely. Other things, set up a structure. When we say structure, I mean that there should be like each dollar needs to have a job and each account needs to have a job. And you need to have certain accounts set up for certain things. And I'll give you a couple of examples. You, mm-hmm, you can do direct deposit that gets dropped into multiple accounts, just like we do when we work at Wendy's and Burger King and Merrill Lynch and all the places where we work.
Yeah.
You can pick multiple. You can say, hey, put 10% here, 20% there.
So
why not come up with that 20% budget, right? And we'll say, you know, of the 20, maybe 10 is for your bills and 10 is just for, you know, your regular spending. And so you have a bills account, you have a spending account, you could have an account for savings and then an account for investing. And then there's also the 401k for your league is another big one.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I love about the NFL's plan is that they make it really tough for you to mess it up. Like you can't like do an IRA rollover when you're done playing. Like they restrict it until way later. They make it a lot harder for you to do that.
Interesting.
They also set it up where you can, you know, annuitize it way earlier than 59 and a half.
Mm.
So, but in order to do that, you got to participate. You got to put the money in. They have a very generous match. They kind of make you do it, but like, you know, don't fight it.
Go with it.
That's part of your structure. Other things, other advice. We talked about, you know, getting adjusted to your new city in your first year.
That's big.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't buy a house yet. That'd be another one. Like this, right, again, this runs counter to our typical wealth building advice. Where,
right,
we're like, yo, buy a house. It's part of your wealth building strategy. If you're an athlete who is from New Orleans, like Dre, allegedly.
The shade.
And you get drafted to a team in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You may feel inclined to buy a house in San Francisco, but you don't even know if you like San Francisco like that. You don't know if they like you. You don't know if you're going to be there long enough. Like what I find players that, like one of our players played in five different cities and my man literally owned real estate in like four of them. And like when you own real estate in a place where you're not living, like it's a liability. Like homes generally are assets, but it becomes a liability in the sense that if you got a pipe that bursts while you're not there, it can really damage your property.
Yeah.
If you've got squatters that move in, mm-hmm, and take over your place, if they're breaking in and stealing stuff, right? So like, don't buy something just yet. Rent something. A lot of times players are constantly in and out of that city. There's somebody who's the plug in that city who can put you on to a nice place that the, you know, the last DB was renting out,
right,
or he owns it
because
he bought it and now he's moving to another city.
Right.
So when you move into that city, you know, you don't need to buy something just yet.
Right. And also, would you say if you are going to buy something, buy it in your where you're from or a place that you've known you want to settle eventually.
Yeah, but you should feel good about it. For sure.
It doesn't need to be initially.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, where you want to be, right? And it's hard to know. A lot of guys think they want to be in one place and then they might have a bad experience and they don't want to be there anymore.
Exactly.
You know, I see a lot of guys go to Florida, you know, tax reasons, but also, you know, lifestyle reasons, you know.
Miami.
It's hot. It's, you know.
People aren't wearing as many clothes.
I've heard there's...
women are not wearing as many clothes.
I was going to say, I heard there's women in some of these cities. you know, if that's your, you know, your flavor. But take your time on that. I think also adjusting to that city is like figuring out how to stay safe in that city. Like you often see stories of guys getting robbed, getting targeted.
It's been a big spike in that when people know you're playing your game schedule.
Yeah.
And famous players' houses getting
Shador
broken into.
Happened to him. We talked about him earlier.
Just like, how is that happening?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're in this information era. Like people, it's easy to find out stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and we're, you know, using social media.
I mean, no one's coming to rob my house, but I'm like, it's another reason why I don't talk about where I am.
Yeah. Oh, I don't either. Yeah. When I was a kid. Like,
last week, I had the pleasure of.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't tell you where I'm about to go.
Or I'd never get to it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
When I was a kid, we only went on our road trips in the middle of the night. No lights on. Like, my parents were terrified of being robbed while we were away. I couldn't tell my friends, like, what I was doing that weekend.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I'm still like that. Like, it's funny. There's certain people that'll send me a friend request. I'm like, I ain't about to accept that.
Right.
I don't trust them. You. Like, I might post something, and they know I'm traveling, and next thing you know, my kids are being kidnapped. Yeah. So figure out how to be safe in that city. We got to go faster because we're running out of time, but consider buying disability insurance to protect your earnings. I mean, your earnings is really your biggest asset. And NFL in particular, you know, people call it not for long, right? It's a place where your money is not guaranteed for most of it or some of it. Your signing bonus is guaranteed, but your pay is not. Like, look at like my man Michael Vick, you know, he was a great player, but he got involved in some stuff off the field.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he had contracts canceled, you know, on him.
Yeah.
And they don't owe you that money. There's, you know, a lot of like, look at what's his name? Jay Williams. Like he
The motorcycle.
Yeah, he got that voided his whole NBA contract. You know, those contracts are guaranteed.
Yep.
So like buy some disability coverage in case you get hurt. Mm-hmm. This will make sure that your income keeps flowing in. You need an insurance person for that. It's often very expensive, but it's really worthwhile. Remember when Damar Hamlin, you know, famously literally like got almost
killed. Yeah, we did a whole
killed.
Show about disability insurance and
on field.
Income protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leverage your players association. Again, they are often an overlooked resource. And, you know, again, they are there to look out for you. It's for the players. Other advice. We talked earlier about being a boss. Like, being a boss really means like you're the one in charge. Like, think of yourself as like the king, and there's some advisors that kind of advise the king, but ultimately the decision.
Or the queen.
Let's say the queen. But and these other people, they're there to advise you, but you got to be the one making the decision. You're in the driver's seat and you got to realize they work for you and they jump when you say jump, for real. Like that's how it should be. Maybe that's not how it is.
I mean.
But it's how it should be.
Yes.
I mean,
you
respectfully.
Are in control.
Respectfully. Yes. I'm not telling you to tell these jokers to jump.
Right. Like, don't treat your advisor like you're a do boy.
Yeah.
But recognize that you are empowered to make some decisions.
Yeah. Because, like, you're the one that has to live with the results.
That's right.
You may feel compelled to be the family bank, to be there to fund every idea, to support the people that poured into you. But you also got to be ready to look out for number one, which is you. So you got to think of yourself as the center of that universe and as the one who really is in charge of those decisions. Even though you might need some advice from time to time, you ultimately are the one in charge.
Think about how much more of an impact you can have and for how long you can have an impact.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind too.
Mm-hmm. We used to say back in the day, do you want to be a king for a few years or a prince forever? financially.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Sometimes it's tough for us as advisors, right? Like, we all we can do is hold up the mirror. We can come up with the budget, and we might suggest that you put 80% of your money into savings and investing, but you decide not to do that. And we might say, like, you might call us from the dealership and say, hey, can you wire, you know, X dollars? And we might say, hey, you sure
what
you want to? You sure you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And we might try to talk you out of it, but ultimately it's on you.
Yeah.
So while you are the king or the queen, like, understand that you got to have your own discernment and you got to be ready to make the right calls.
That's right.
And it's not easy. You know, sometimes $1 million feels like it's $100 million or $1 billion.
Right.
And
but
it's
you really
not.
Need to think about it more like 100,000.
Yeah. And it's not. It's not. It's not. Final thing. Think about your life in chapters, not seasons.
Mm.
Your entire life up to this point
mm-hmm.
has been semesters and seasons.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about the next season. And it feels like this is what life's going to be like. And this income is just going to keep flowing in. And there's going to be more times and more contracts and more money and more opportunity. But in reality, this pro sport career, it's short relative to your whole life. We mm-hmm. talked about maybe it's 10 years out of, you know, 100 years that you will live. That's 10%.
Yeah.
So think about chapters. This is one chapter.
I like that.
There will be others. Hopefully, you'll get several chapters. Retirement is a chapter. Maybe post-playing career is a chapter.
And that chapter might be longer than
yeah.
any of the others. As an athlete, as a pro athlete, that
yeah. is. Yeah. Because a lot of times I think your identity gets tied up to the season that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember going like with some of my players to, you know, they'd have me sitting in the player section at their games. And I'm seeing so many women whose jerseys on the back say, you know, I'm such and such's wife or such and such's girlfriend. Like, I'm a player's wife.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to your mental state, your self-image when your person's not playing anymore, when you're not playing anymore?
We explore all of that and more in The Game.
This episode's sponsored by The Game for no compensation.
For no compensation at all.
So look, we've broken it down. Mama, I made it. We talked about being a draft pick. Here's what we'll say.
Is that our title? You know I don't be paying attention.
Yeah,
right?
You really don't. You retitle our shows. You were like, here's our show, first round draft picks brought to you. Like, nah, it says it right at the top. It's called Draft Season Mama, I Made It. You don't care.
I do care. I just...
So look,
some details matter more than others.
If you or a loved one, a friend, a family member, if y'all are in search of financial advice, if you're just looking for some pointers, somebody to bounce ideas off of, if you are a regular working American and you need a second opinion on retirement, your investment portfolio, hit us up on our website, momentum-advisors.com/contact. Schedule time with Andrea or myself or Will Platt, who we shouted out is yep. our athlete expert, or Kyle Pitts, or Jason Mahabir-Singh, or Baron Hilliard, or Tyler Holly.
Your advisor of choice.
Yes. And we'll spend 30 minutes with you. We'll walk through your financial situation, hopefully give you some, you know, some good pointers, some good ideas. And until next week, we want you to keep listening, because
I'm Andrea Gray.
And I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Show.